Today is Sunday, January the 14th, and it's a birthday for some notable people, including blues singer Clarence Carter. He is 82 years old today. Actress Faye Dunaway turns 77, while actor Carl Weathers has 70 candles on his cake. Singer-producer T-Bone Burnett is 70 years old today. Pulitzer Prize winner Maureen Dowd, 66. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The new year is upon us, and it provides us all opportunities for a new beginning. Whether you are a Christian who, for whatever reason, is not currently attending a church, and yet know that there is something missing in your life, or someone who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, yet want to know more about God and why Christians are willing to live and die for their faith, there is a valid and eternal reason, and it's worth the effort to discover. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at TrueLifeReading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
We're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia. We both own Kias and we love them. I personally am driving a brand new 2018 Kia Niro, the highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017, and I am impressed. My gas mileage is crazy good. It has an EPA rated 51 miles per gallon city. Redding Kia has 36 Niros in stock and on the way, and all come with a complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations. Buy or lease a new Kia from Redding Kia and you'll never pay for an oil change for as long as you own your car. That saves a lot of money. And have you seen the new 2018 Kia Stinger GT? It packs 365 horsepower with the available twin-turbo six-cylinder. The performance is mind-blowing. No wonder Stinger is a finalist for the North American Car of the Year. This is the car everyone's talking about, so see the Stinger today at Redding Kia and be ready to drive it home. Great cars, big savings, America's best new car warranty. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Now, this is Carl on the bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 1460 in downtown Reading. On Monday, we welcome Randall Hempling, chairman of the board of Turtle Bay. He's going to talk about all the accolades that Turtle Bay has received from the state on the educational side of the page. Also, can a Reading city councilman actually call for the replacement of our sheriff? Find out Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. But obviously, no manipulation, no games, no con artists, no tricks, no gimmicks. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to solicit membership. We're just simply here to give you some information. Information that's designed to remind you of biblical truths and introduce you to an in-depth way of studying and learning the Word of God. My job is to educate. Your job is to evaluate what I say. And if you agree, then you can orient and adjust. That's up to you. But I'm going to get it right, I'm going to get it accurate, and I'm going to give it straight. No games, as I said. The Flatline is always about teaching the wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. FLOT stands for Forward Line of Troops, and this is a military metaphor for using 10 unique problem-solving devices like the military has a main line of resistance to keep the enemy out of the command center. And the enemy for you is human viewpoint thinking. It's satanic strategy. It's the evil system of the cosmic system that we live in. And by learning God's word, or establishing a flat line in your soul, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity from overrunning the command post of your soul, which is the way that you think. Your spiritual life is always lived the way that you think. And so today, as we continue in the flat line, our message today is the gift of our resources, things that God has provided for you. And those spiritual resources are unbelievable. The spiritual life that we live and that you live has divine resources. The unbelieving world does not have that. They are disadvantaged because they don't have the resources that you have. These resources for the believer must be in your soul if you're going to utilize them. If you ever hope to glorify God to the maximum in your life, you must know your resources, and you must use your resources. Glorifying God is what we are mandated to do. Listen to 1 Peter 4:11. You see, this is what our spiritual life is all about, and it's glorifying God. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then Romans 16:27, another verse that speaks to the glorifying of God. It says, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. So my job and your job is to give maximum glorification to God by means of our spiritual life. That's what we're supposed to do. And the fact that we believe the Word of God and we trusted Jesus Christ to be our Savior and redeem us out of the slave market of sin, that's part of glorifying God. Now, maximum glorification of God occurs when we, you and me, when we reach spiritual maturity. And at that point, we begin to represent the mind of Christ. And this is how we go through evidence testing in our life. And this is how we give maximum glorification to God by learning His Word, applying His Word, using His Word through the evidence testing that we face in our life. So, in order to bring God maximum glory, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the anointed Son of God, provided a tutor for us, or what we call a mentor, and it's in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so the number one divine resource for you and me is the Holy Spirit. And the number two divine resource for you and me is a completed canon of Scripture, We call it a Bible, and it is the thinking of Christ in written form. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ. So in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ giving us this divine resource of the Holy Spirit, this is what he said in John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, or does it know him. But you will know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Abiding with you, he was speaking to the disciples now when he said that. And the disciples had the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit with the endowment ministry, but come the church age, come Pentecost, he would be in them. And he is in you and I today. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13, and we are mandated to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. So the Lord Jesus Christ went on to say, I have a lot more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. Verse 13 of John 16, but when he, that's the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. There's the tutor, there's the mentorship. He will guide you into all truth, because he will not speak of his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And listen to verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. So God is glorified by means of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, as he tutors us and mentors us. And without the filling of the Holy Spirit, then that's problem-solving device number two in the flat line of your soul, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit, the believer, that's you and I, we would not be able to metabolize the divine resources that we have available. In other words, these resources are taught in the Bible, taught in the Scripture, and they have to be learned if they're going to be utilized. I mean, if you don't know them, you cannot use them. If you want to get to Albuquerque and you don't have a map, how are you going to get there? Well, the Word of God is a map. It's a divine resource. It's a tool. It's not a good luck thing. It's not something you leave in the windshield of your car during the week and take it out on Sunday morning. It is a textbook designed by God to be taught to you by a well-qualified pastor who is prepared, who knows the languages, and who's able to communicate line by line, word by word, verse by verse. And so we are to learn God's Word. And these divine resources, if we don't learn them, how can we use them? The mystery doctrine of the church is a great resource. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's Colossians 1:27. That's a resource. Jesus Christ lives in you. This is the same Christ that indwelt the tabernacle of the Old Testament, where the Jews called him the Shekinah glory. The glory of God resided in the tabernacle, and 1 Corinthians 3 says he now resides in you, that your body is the temple of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He pitches a tent so Christ can camp out in your body. And then the whole concept of growing and learning has to come from, for example, like 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means not getting it wrong, not getting crooked, not getting twisted up. And then 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory. There it is again, maximum glorification of God, both now and forever. As you grow, you bring glory to God through Christ. There is no growth without studying and growing. You must study to grow. And this is not a daily devotional, 10 minutes a day. This is not once a week listening to a 30-minute sermon by your pastor. If you ever intend to grow spiritually, you must take in the Word of God on a consistent basis. As for me, I do it on a daily basis. I listen to my pastor teach the Word of God to me by means of a DVD or an MP3 on a daily basis. You say, how could I do that? Well, my particular pastor has over 1,000 hours already taught on the life of Christ, and you can access those. They're free. They're available. So there's 1,000 hours worth of catching up you got to do, and every 1,000 hours you catch up, you'll be 1,000 hours behind. So unless you did 2 a day. But I try to listen every day. Take in the Word of God every day. It's oftentimes where I get motivated to bring the message to you by listening what He teaches to me. I'm not a pastor. I'm under the authority of a well-qualified pastor. And just like you, I have to study, I have to grow, I have to learn, I have to apply. But I only can do this by renovating my thinking. We are mandated to renovate our thinking, and that is if we're going to utilize these resources God has for us. We must change the way we think. We must be able to reflect the mind of Jesus Christ, which is called divine viewpoint, if we ever want to use our divine resources. So where does it say that in the Bible? It says it in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 12:1 through 3, here's where Paul wrote, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that's dedicated to the Lord, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you must move out of the way the cosmic system thinks. You must move away from human viewpoint thinking to divine viewpoint thinking, and that is learning the mind of Christ in the New Testament. So being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Why? So that we may prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God. And then he goes on in verse 3 of Romans 12, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. And this is a warning to stay out of the arrogance complex of the soul, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Soberly is humility. God wants you to think in terms of humility, not arrogance. So as you take His Word, as you learn His Word, as you reflect divine viewpoint through your life under the concept of humility, then you begin to bring maximum glorification to God. In 1 John 5:11 through 13, we have another divine resource, a wonderful resource called eternal security. 1 John 5:11 through 13, this is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I wrote unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may have confidence in the name of the Son of God. You can know it. You don't have to hope it. You don't have to try. You don't have to want. You can know it. In John 10:28, I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither will any man be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, because my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And in Hebrews 13:5, Christ said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let's get some principles on this. A. Eternal security is a doctrine that cements the believer's eternal future. You don't have to worry about your future. It's locked in. It's done. It's taken care of. B. God will not cancel your eternal life. What He gives, He does not take back. He's not an Indian giver. And C. He's given us plus R. That's His righteousness. We have minus R, our righteousness. He's given us His righteousness through Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we may be made the righteousness of God through Him. So He gave us this righteousness through Christ, and He is not going to cancel that gift and then condemn you to hell because you committed some sin that's grievous to you or to others. It's not going to happen. You didn't earn your salvation, and you can't earn to keep your salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. Why would He give it to you as a gift and then require you to earn it to keep it? And D, our relationship with God does not depend on our integrity. It does not depend on our morality. It does not depend on our virtue, but rather it depends on His very holiness and His integrity. And we know that He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutability. He does not change. He's not going to change His mind. He knew about you in eternity past. He knows about you today. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He's not going to kick you out of the family because you fail. And E, you cannot lose your salvation because it's strictly the work of God. You did nothing to gain it. You do nothing to maintain it. It's the work of God, and He will not cast you off or say you can't have it. Even if you fail in the Christian life, you still are going to go to heaven. You may be minus some rewards, but you're going to be there. A, B, C, D, E, F, the enemy, that's a.k.a. the devil, loves to threaten you with the idea that you will lose your salvation. This is how he often manipulates guilt and shame on people. He's able to get them to do crazy things to try to make it up to God or try to promise God they won't ever do that sort of thing again. And then when they do, well, then they feel like that's it. There's no hope for me. And they have no joy of their salvation. So Satan is a master at manipulating you with this guilt and shame in your life. And it's for this reason that we are warned by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6. When he speaks of putting on the armor of God, he talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. That helmet protects your brain. It protects your mind. It protects what you think, because this is where Satan attacks you. He attacks your thinking. This is what he does. He attacks the way you think. And if he can get you to doubt God, as he got Eve to doubt what God said, if he can get you to be angry with God, as he himself is, in fact, if he could get you to mistrust God, if he could get you to doubt God, well, then he is going to vindicate his argument with God. He doesn't want to go to the lake of fire. He constantly says God is unfair for condemning him to the lake of fire. And yet he himself chose to assume the throne of God. So, G, this does not imply that you or I will succeed as winner believers by executing the Christian life. Winner believer, what do I mean by that? I mean a person who goes from spiritual autonomy to spiritual maturity, starting with spiritual self-esteem. When you reach spiritual maturity, when you go through evidence testing, you give maximum glorification to God. You will be a winner believer. Evidence testing is when you're called to the witness stand and you have to get up there and defend yourself in front of Satan. And this happens. I mean, this is what happens to believers in evidence testing. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. We go through it alone. It's an evidence testing to see whether or not we believe what God said. And if you're ever going to be a winner in the plan of God, you must have the right attitude towards the Word of God or towards Bible doctrine. If you don't learn it, if you don't use it, if you don't grow, you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to be minus rewards. You're not going to hear that, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant." And that's what we're all looking for. What I'm looking for are some of you today, some of you wherever you may be, in California, Wyoming, Denver, maybe across into Texas or Mississippi or all the way through Maryland or New York, anywhere. This show is played over 25 stations this morning in Tennessee, for example. If you are that winner, you are the person that will deliver this nation with an invisible impact. You are the person that will have a historical impact. You will be a member of the pivot, as just like Gideon chose 300 simple men to defeat the Midianite army. You can be one of the chosen ones. God will use you, but he only uses prepared people. Remember what he said, "I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap between me and the people, to make up the hedge." But he said in Ezekiel, "I could not even find one." Can he count on you? Can you be that invisible hero? Can you have that historical impact in your life by being a mature believer, a person who consistently studies God's Word on a daily basis, a person who stays filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, a person who uses the faith rest drill, which we're about to talk about? That's what God's looking for, and me too. Now, another divine resource is obviously prayer. Instantaneous communication with our Heavenly Father. But we don't use prayer in order to hire God to do something we want done. That's not possible. Prayer is not designed to get us out of trouble. It is strictly designed to express our helplessness in time of need and our appreciation and adoration in time of blessing. So if we fail in prayer, my pastor once said, failing in prayer is like sleepwalking through life. You never even know what happens. So, as a believer priest, which you are and which I am, we have a priestly function, and it's called prayer. We can pray for others. We can pray expressing gratitude and appreciation to God. It's called adoration. And we can pray for others in intercessory prayer. And we can pray for ourselves as we express our needs to God. That's called a petition. It's a wonderful thing, the divine resource of prayer, instantaneous communication with God Himself, right straight to the throne room of God. But failing to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you pray means you will not get an answer to your prayer, and your prayer will be an ineffective prayer. The Bible is clear in Psalm 66:18. If I regard sin in my heart, iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. He will not hear me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is quenched. Because the Holy Spirit is grieved. Because He cannot intercede for you as He would. And Romans 8 talks about He intercedes with groanings that sometimes cannot even be uttered or understood. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take your prayer before the throne of God. And it's the ministry of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to intercede for us before God. But we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we want our prayer life to be effective. And there's only one way to do that. And that is that we must use Rebound, which is problem-solving device number one, on the flat line of our soul. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. That's the secret to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anytime you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit. But when you rebound, when you confess your sin to God, then you resume your spiritual journey and you are filled with the Holy Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit once again. And remember that all prayer must be addressed to the Father in the name of the Son, through the filling of the Holy Spirit. A well-meaning prayer addressed to the Holy Spirit, or a well-meaning prayer addressed to Jesus Christ the Son, is not going to be answered. The prayers go to the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of the Spirit. Another divine resource that we have as believers, as the advantaged ones of God, is the faith rest drill, or using faith as a problem-solving device. Using faith means we stand on the promises of God as a spiritual resource. And it's one of those 10 problem-solving devices that I talk about. Problem-solving device number 3, found in the Scripture. It begins like this, with you believing God when He makes a promise to you. For example, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And then in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. These are promises, and you can utilize these promises in time of adversity or affliction in your life. There are 3 stages to using the faith rest drill. And the first, obviously, is the faith mechanics of mixing the promises of God with your own faith. So you take one of those 7,000 promises found in the Bible and you mix it with your faith. And then the second thing you do is that you go to a biblical rationale. You say, what's a rationale? It's a set of reasons or logical basis for a course of action or particular belief. You have a logical course of action. You reverse your concentration. You think about the faithfulness of God. You think about the justice of God. You think about the omniscience and omnipotence of God, and you come to a conclusion. That's the third step. You arrive at a biblical conclusion, and you relax in your circumstances. That's what it means to pick up the shield of faith. Stand behind the promises of God, not to worry, not to sweat, not to be upset, but to trust in Him completely because He has provided all the divine resources you need. And then, obviously, I want to close with the divine resource of Rebound. Rebound handles our problem with sin. I mentioned it already. I'll mention it again. You will sin. You have a genetically formed old sin nature that you got from Adam. And you will sin. God knows this. Whether it's a mental attitude sin or sin of the tongue or even an overt sin. But there is a way to be cleansed from that sin. And that is by using 1 John 1:9, the Rebound technique. When we confess our sin to God, then the Holy Spirit is free to control us and fill us once again. But if we ignore our sin and hide our sin, then we grieve the Spirit and we quench the Spirit, and we can never utilize our resources or advance in the Christian life. I hope this is making sense. I hope you're learning something and understanding what those resources are for you. And I hope you'll stick with me and come back next week. Same time, same station, same place. So until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It's just a time of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, but absolutely no manipulation. That's right, we're not trying to con anybody. We're just trying to give you some accurate information, information designed to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, you have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. But the Flatline is always designed to remind you of biblical truths and introduce you to an in-depth way of studying, learning God's Word. Again, no solicitations, just 30 minutes of education. And it all starts with the good news that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, has redeemed all of us out of the slave market of sin. Our debt to God has been paid, and we are now free of the penalty of death and free of the power of sin. And so by receiving Christ as your Savior, you are in effect accepting the offering that He made on your behalf. It's a free gift from the compliments of God. That's why the Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs all to the hope of eternal life, made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's a promise from the Word of God, and what a great promise that it is. The Flatline is all about learning God's unique problem-solving devices and using those problem-solving devices in the main line of resistance of your soul. Your soul involves your mentality, how you think. It involves your volition, how you choose. It involves your conscience and your self-consciousness. These are all parts of your soul, and God created you as a living soul. But obviously, we're created spiritually dead because we're identified with Adam's original sin, and the Bible says, for by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're born spiritually dead, but we're made spiritually alive when we believe in Jesus Christ and we receive Him as our Savior. That's the new birthday. So the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So as the new person, we have a new way to think. We identify with the mind of Christ. We learn to think like He thought. Just as Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's learning to think divine viewpoint, not operating under the old way of living, which is human viewpoint. There's a different way to live. There's a different way to think. And it involves learning and applying the Word of God into your life, using those problem-solving devices found throughout the Scripture. And we've been able to identify 10 unique problem-solving devices that we put as the main line of resistance or the forward line of troops, the flot line, F-L-O-T, the forward line of troops. And what this is designed to do is a military metaphor. It's showing you that there are 10 unique problem-solving devices that you can learn and apply and glorify God with, and they will resist the outside sources of adversity before they overrun the command post of your soul and turn into stress. Overrunning the command post of your soul means that you get into worry, you get into fear, you get into guilt, you get into whatever. You don't have to live like that. There is a way to live, a unique way to live, called the Christian life. Whoever lives it is a wise person, the Bible tells us. And the Bible goes on to say in Proverbs 10:8, the wise heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to pass. You have a heart, and I'm not talking about that thing that beats in your chest. I'm talking about what's between your ears. Your mind and your heart are both receivers inside of your soul. The mind, or the, as the Bible uses the Greek word, nous, G-N-O-U-S, nous, the mind, or the nous, receives information, and the heart, or the cardia, in the Greek New Testament, is where we store that information, where we respond. And so when God wants to check you out, he looks at what you're thinking. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the wise heart is a person who has positive volition, a person who is have a tendency to listen and to hear and to obey the word of God. The stupid heart, let me use that word if you don't mind, the fool, the wise heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to pass. The fool, the Bible speaks of, is detached from reality due to his own arrogance. In his own mind, he justifies why he's right and everyone else is wrong. He lies to himself. Self-deception, self-justification, and self-absorption, they all lead to self-destruction eventually. And most people that wind up destroying their lives and destroying any opportunity for having happiness in life do so because of their own arrogance. It is our number one enemy in the Christian life. We have to be very careful not to fall into the trap of self-justification, self-deception, and self-absorption. The wise person that Proverbs speaks of receives and retains the information. You know, there's a difference between going to church and hearing what is taught and going to church and hearing and applying what is taught. First of all, you can't apply what you don't know, and you can't know what you don't remember. So if you go there and just sit there like a bump on a log and don't even write anything down, you're not going to retain very much of what the pastor said. You may remember a couple of lines. You may remember a cute joke. You may remember some emotional analogy that he gave you. Most of the time, you're not going to remember very much at all. Out of the thousands of radio shows that we've done, how much of them do you remember? Do you take notes? Do you ever write anything down? Do you ever review your notes? That's what it means to retain the instruction, to go back over and to look at it and remember it and not just forget it once you hear it and go away and forget about it. This is not like eating a meal where you eat it and walk away from the table and say, oh, burp, I'm full now, I'll go take a nap. No, growing in grace is learning and applying the Word of God, and it requires repetition. So the wise man who allows himself to repeat and learn is a man who has authority orientation. That means he orients to the authority of the Word of God to start with, and he orients to the authority, hopefully, of a well-qualified pastor. I had people write me sometimes, and a lady wrote me recently and said she didn't need a pastor because they can be wrong. Well, that's obvious. Any pastor can be wrong. And it's obvious that God the Holy Spirit will alert you when a pastor tries to mislead you. I've seen that happen before. If you're under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, I mean, this is what God gave the gift for in Ephesians chapter 4. The gift of poimen kai didaskalos in the Greek New Testament is pastor and teacher. And his job is to study and teach the Word of God, not to be a cruise ship director, to study and teach the Word of God. Your job is to learn it and apply it and glorify God in your life as a result of it. So Proverbs 1:5, let the wise man hear and increase in learning. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise person hear and increase in learning. If you don't hear, you can't learn. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the wise man that we're talking about in Proverbs 10:8, the wise heart will receive commandments. This is a person who receives and retains instruction. The wise man is the believer, you, me, any believer, who receives the good news, and the fool is the one who rejects the free gift of eternal life. It's a shame, but people reject it every day. They say they got a better deal. They've got something better going on. There is no better deal than the fact that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, paid for your sin. He alone satisfied the justice of God. And by faith in Him, you can have eternal life. What kind of better deal is there? There's not. So the wisdom of the Scripture, we call it divine viewpoint. We call it thinking as Christ thought. And all Scripture, all of the Bible, is divine viewpoint. And when you reject a Scripture, then you're rejecting divine viewpoint. So what you think, what's in your mind, what's spinning around between your ears, is related to what you say or what comes out of your mouth. So if you want to know what a person is like or what a person thinks about, just listen to what he talks about. That's where the real person is, between their ears. And what's going on in their mind will eventually come out in their words. So the Word of God has a lot to say about what comes out of your mouth. I want to talk about that for just a minute. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The heart of the righteous, this is the wisdom of the believer who has received and retained the Word of God on a consistent basis. If you don't receive and retain the Word of God on a consistent basis, then you don't have anything to ponder. You don't have anything to consider, to evaluate. Divine viewpoint demands that you guard your lips from speaking hastily and that you guard your lips from being impulsive in your speech. James 1:19 talks about this. It says, "Be quick to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger." The person that's not wise, the babbling fool, is not slow to speak and is not slow to anger. He's always the first one to run his mouth. He's always the first one to tell everybody what he thinks ought to be done. He's always the loudest and the first about anything. And it's never about the Word of God. It's always about him and what he wants to do. And so the psalmist talks about that. He said, "I will guard my ways so that I may not sin with my tongue." In other words, I will muzzle my mouth. A friend of mine who's a pastor once said these words, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And it's true. So, Psalm 39 again, 39:1, "I will guard my ways so that I might not sin with my tongue." When unwise people have no inclination for the Word of God, they are always quick to slander, they're always quick to malign, to criticize, to backbite, to run down. These are the type of people that you must avoid in your life. The mouth of the believer, you and me, is not for slandering and maligning and criticizing and backbiting and lying. It's not what it's for. The mouth of the believer is for proclaiming gratitude for God's mercy and for giving thanksgiving for His grace. In Proverbs 6:16-19, if you've never read that, I advise you to take a look at it. Because there are seven sins God hates, and they're all mentioned right there. Oh, you want me to say it again? You want to read that one, don't you? Proverbs 6:16-19, seven sins God hates. And first of all, God doesn't hate. That would be a sin to commit hate. But this is a way that we explain what the justice of God does not tolerate. And one of the things the justice of God will not tolerate is a lying tongue. Proverbs 6:16-19, you can see there are three sins of the tongue and three mental attitude sins and one overt sin. Look at them. Read it for yourself and you'll get it, the idea. So we must guard our lips that we don't sin with our tongue. We must not lie. We must not slander. We must not malign. We must not criticize. And yet we do it every day. The sins of the tongue are mentioned in several passages throughout the Bible. For example, in Romans 2:1. "Therefore, you are without excuse, every person who keeps on judging other people. For in that you judge another person, you actually condemn yourself, because you who are judging actually practice the same thing." In order to have a wonderful life, In order to maintain a wonderful relationship with God where He blesses you on a consistent basis, you cannot allow sin to sidetrack you. And one of the sins that can sidetrack you is the sin of the tongue. It's allowing your mouth to say things you don't need to say. The blindness of the arrogant person does not allow him to see what he actually is. It doesn't allow him to see that he's committing the worst of all sins when he maligns or slanders or judges someone else of committing some sin. There's a lot of discipline associated to sins of the tongue. Matthew 7, 1 through 7 talks about this divine discipline that goes along with judging other people. And it warns us not to judge so that we would not be judged. And it says in that passage, for the measure that we measure will be measured back to us again. My pastor calls that triple compound discipline. You get your discipline for sinning. You get his discipline, or whatever you accused him of. It's taken off of him and given to you. And then you have self-induced misery because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. And then you go back and you think, I wish I hadn't have said that. It's so easy to fall into the trap of criticizing, maligning, slandering, backbiting, talking about, lying about another person. So the arrogant person doesn't see it. He only sees what he thinks he is. He doesn't see what he really is. He doesn't look into the mirror of the truth of the Word of God. So he looks into his own distorted mirror and sees a distorted version, and he has an unrealistic personality. He thinks he should be treated in a way he's not worthy of being treated. In self-righteousness, the one who judges another person actually assumes the role of replacing God as the Supreme Court judge in heaven. They take God's place. They figure they can do a better job than God, and so they judge, and they create false standards. And these sort of people will seek to intimidate you and get you to uphold their false standards. False standards are called legalism. And the legalist will tell you, you cannot be a good Christian and smoke a cigarette. You cannot be a good Christian and drink a glass of wine. You cannot be a good Christian and go dancing. You cannot be a good Christian and watch any movie that's anything under a G. And so they will try to legislate what you should or should not do. And the Bible doesn't say these things. The Bible doesn't say don't smoke. It says don't harm your body. And your body is the temple of God. First of all, sin is the greatest contaminator in the body. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you can sin by eating too many pieces of chicken, just like you could sin by over-smoking, over-drinking, over anything. Anything that takes command of you is a sin in your life. And so when we create these false standards, which the legalist does, he's trying to manipulate you. He's trying to get you to live over to his standards of what he believes the Bible teaches you should do. These sort of people you need to get away from, because they will never allow you any privacy in your life. They will always be like the proboscis monkey who has a nose 2 feet long and sticks it where it doesn't belong. And some self-righteous believer who sticks his nose into your business and then will run his mouth and complain about you and malign you to someone else is not the person you need to be hanging around. There is nothing but legalism. That's all it is. It claims respectability, and they will malign you. And this is what organized religion thrives on. Organized religion thrives on this. It thrives on manipulating people, trying to get you to do a certain thing and act a certain way in order for you to, quote, be a holy person. And it starts with your money, how to give your money, how to solicit money from you. And if you're not giving money, you're not a good person. Listen, God talks about giving in the Bible in a lot of places. But the main thing is you give as God has prospered you. And people that want to intimidate you with your concept about giving and how much you should give. I've even heard of churches that send accountants to people's businesses telling them how much they should be giving. And I'm not making that up. That's crazy. Because I learned from my pastor years ago, if God's in it, God will pay for it. So keep your mouth shut. Don't ask for money. Just do your job and let the Lord handle the rest of it. And that's the way we like to operate on this radio show. And we wouldn't be here today if God didn't provide the funds, the finances, for us to pay the radio stations to broadcast this show because they don't give us this time free. God's in it. He pays for it. It's that simple. We, as believers, must evaluate our own selves in light of what the Word of God teaches. You look into the mirror of the Word of God to evaluate yourself. That's the way you live up to the standards of the grace, righteousness of God in your life. And if you are that wise person that we talked about in Proverbs, you know, when we began this thing, we gave you Proverbs 10:8, the wise heart will receive mandates, commandments, but a babbling fool will come to pass. And then I gave you Proverbs 1:5, let the wise hear and increase in learning. That person that I'm talking about, the wise person, will guard his tongue, since verbal sins are usually motivated by mental attitude sins called jealousy and bitterness. You're not allowed to get into that. That's a sin. That's destructive. In James 3:14, but if you have a bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. Excuse me. Bitter jealousy means that Deacon Jones can't stand Deacon Smith. They've done business with each other, and they shafted each other in a business deal, and they hate each other, and yet they're in the same church, and they don't get along, and they're jealous of each other. If there's anyone in your church that's jealous of you or you're jealous of them, that's a terrible sin, because this is how Satan uses circumstances to divide and conquer people. Divine discipline can come from these unconfessed sins of jealousy and selfish ambition. You see, the sin of the tongue is one of the most deceptive sins in the whole Bible. And oftentimes, we're not even aware we're doing it. I mean, if someone's asked you, what do you think about brother so-and-so? Or what do you think about her? What do you think about him? The best answer that you can give is, what do you think? And you'll find out what they're trying to do. Are they mad at that person and they're trying to get you to take their side? Don't ever fall into the trap of answering a question like that. What do you think about someone? That's between them and God. It's none of my business. It's not my place to judge them. It's not my place to second guess them. It's not my place to give them advice unless they ask for it. I mean, there are a lot of people I would like to give advice to, but they didn't ask for it. If they didn't ask for it, who am I to assume that they want it? So the wise person will guard his tongue, since those verbal sins are usually motivated by mental attitude sins. And divine discipline, as I said, accompanies unconfessed sin in your life, and the sin of the tongue is one of the most deceptive sins. There are three categories of the sin of the tongue that I'd like to run by you this morning. And the first one is the whining category, complaining category. Even though God's grace is abundantly bestowed, the believer, you or me, we still complain about everything. Always a little pity party. Always the raw deal. Always what so-and-so said about me. Always what so-and-so did to me. Always complaining. Always whining. Paul the Apostle learned this in 2 Corinthians 12 when he asked God three different times to remove the thorn in his flesh. And every time God said, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul learned, and he told us as he wrote that scripture, that he would rejoice in his suffering so that the grace of God might be made much more manifest. There's the slander category. Whining, complaining, number one, sin of the tongue. Number two, slander. Category involves gossip and maligning and judging people. And number three, the falsehood category. And that's you lying, you fabricating, using duplicity, perjury. It is you telling something that is not true about circumstances or about people. In Romans 16:17-18, the Bible says, I urge you, fellow Christians, keep your eyes on those who cause dissension and occasions for stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them, for such types are not the servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, but are slaves to their own emotion, and furthermore, by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the minds of the ignorant. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? 1 Peter 3, let's wrap it up with this. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. Doing evil is the sin of the tongue. Doing evil is saying things you shouldn't say, sticking your nose where you shouldn't stick it. That's not you being a wise man. That's not you learning the Scripture, learning what the Word of God said. God didn't put you here to judge people, to malign people, to criticize people, to run people down. God put you here to glorify Him. And it doesn't glorify Him when you get into some sort of pettiness like that.